So let's pivot to a national perspective on the Tigers and the rest of Major League Baseball. And let's do it with John Morosi of MLB Network. He joins us now on the Meyer LPGA guest line. John will be a part of MLB Network's showcase broadcast on the Yankees and Orioles tomorrow. Plus, you can catch him every morning on MLB Central at 9 a.m. Eastern time. JP, good to have you, my friend.
Dan, it's great to be with you. Congratulations to you on all of your success in broadcasting baseball and all the other sports that you do so well, Dan. So it is great to be with you today. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate that. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with the Tigers. And naturally, the Cleveland Guardians are off to a tremendous start as well. But the Tigers, for so many years, have had a lot of trouble in April. This year is not one of those years. What have your observations been about what the Tigers have been to this point?
Dan, I think it's all about pitching, and we've seen them win a lot of close games. Certainly, they've had some timely hitting late, which I think has been the secondary theme. But in general, outside of maybe some rocky starts here and there by Maeda, it is hard to take much issue with the way they've pitched in the rotation this year. Skubal looks like a Cy Young candidate and a future, really a current star in this game for a long time to come. They have a dependable rotation, and look no further than the fact that when they've got a doubleheader like today, they bring Manning back, and he's pitched as well as basically anybody. He's nominally a Triple-A. So they've got a really, really good situation with depth. I think that Foley has been very, very trustworthy at the end of the game. I think he's really emerged as one of the more reliable closers. Just looking at their bullpen in general, Miller's been really good. I think he was a great find by the front office in the offseason. So you would expect, and this is probably that last piece, Dan, is when the middle of the lineup gets a little bit more productive, I think you're waiting for Torkelson to really produce. You're waiting for Keith to show that he's comfortable at the major league level. Those are still some ifs. But I can tell you a lot of teams around baseball have ifs. Very few of them are sure things in every regard of the game, if any, really. And a lot of teams in the game would trade their problems for the Tigers' problems, because the Tigers are strong in what you need, which is starting pitching, and as well, there's this subjective element to it's a young team. It seems to play with a lot of energy. They like to play baseball together, and that may sound subjective and difficult to prove, but I think if you watch this team play this season, you've picked up on that. And teams, you look at the Padres last year, all their numbers said they were supposed to be a good team. Well, they weren't, and they were losing every close game. They were losing every extra inning game. The Tigers have been quite the opposite of that, and that to me says that they're engaged with each other, with the coaching staff, with their manager, and those are all really good signs, not just for the chance to make the playoffs in 24, but for this to be the start of a pretty special 3 or 4 year cycle.
I don't know about you, but I think Matt Manning might be the best 27th person on the roster in all of Major League Baseball. You know, it's so funny. Guys throwing harder than we've seen throughout the course of the last couple of years. What have you picked up on as it pertains to how the Tigers have developed pitching as of late?
You know, it's a great question, Dan, and certainly you're up close there in the minor league system to understand how they've done it. I think they've got a very good plan, and certainly Chris Fetter, when he came in as the pitching coach, I think a lot of people in the industry said, okay, this makes a lot of sense. You're getting someone in who had a really good track record at the University of Michigan, working with those teams that made it deep in the NCAA tournament, made it to Omaha the 1 year, and he specialized in getting the most out of starting pitchers who are 18, 19, 20, in their early 20s. And that's basically the foundation of this team. And so you brought in someone who is an expert at helping pitchers in this area, and also the way that the Tigers have organized their staff. And A.J. Hinch is, I think, really good in a lot of ways as a manager, and one of his strongest traits is that he understands the importance of a great coaching staff. So whether it's Fetter, Robin Lund, they've got a really good team all around to help nurture their pitching, and they've got guys with the right stuff. I mean, you can't have success in this game right now unless you have the requisite stuff. And Flaherty, I think, has learned how to adapt. Manning, it looks to me like his stuff is very crisp, and he's maybe attacking even a bit more this year healthier than he was towards the end of last season. So a lot of that is you credit the players themselves, certainly. But I think that as time has gone on, the Tigers coaching staff has learned how to really fashion down that stone into that what is needed for them to really have actionable information on the mound. And I think they've done a really good job of having a comprehensive pitching plan that we're now seeing play out with some really, really talented young arms.
John Morosi of MLB Network joins us. I know we're not supposed to care what other people think of us, but you've got your ear to the ground. What's the perception in baseball circles of Scott Harris and Tigers player development?
I think very strong, and I think that now the big question and test will likely be at this trade deadline and what direction Scott goes in. I think that when you look at last year, I think one critique, and it's fair, is that they probably should have gotten more for what they had at the deadline. I realize the Eduardo Rodriguez situation was different and unique, but ultimately you've got to find a way to get something for him. And whether it was an issue of communication between agent and player or agent and team or team and team, whatever it was, the outcome wasn't what it was supposed to be. And that's ultimately on the front office. You have to have gotten more for that at that point in time. And Lorenzen, we'll see how the return goes from that trade, getting an infielder that we'll see if he ends up being a frontline starter in MLB or more of a utility guy. But I think that you had two of the more marketable guys out there and probably an underwhelming deadline. Now, the Marcana pickup was good based on the results so far. That was an excellent move the Tigers made there. Maeda, a little bit of positive, a little bit of negative. I think that Flaherty's been good. Shelby Miller's been excellent. So I think overall you would say it's certainly an above-average grade right now, but this is now when you look at this roster and say, okay, who are you going to be able to bring in at the deadline if you're going for it, if you're in the race to win this division, which is a winnable division. As well as Cleveland has played, as well as KC has played, Minnesota's on a really good winning streak too. It's a division that you should be able to compete in and potentially win. And so I think that the industry feels like Scott has done a good job, and that this July trading season is going to be a major test. And I think you also have to look at last year's draft. And you look at Max Clark and his development and where he ends up going. Obviously, the guy that was still available when they picked Clark, Wyatt Langford's already in the big leagues and making an impact for Texas. So that's going to be something that we talk about for a long time as well. So I think overall, very good. The infrastructure of the organization, Dan, and you know this too, is as good as it's been in a long time in terms of just the foundational elements of what the Tigers are all about. I think now the next step is, okay, how do you do with getting someone like Torkelson to be the best version of himself and then adding the right players to actually put together a playoff team?
Yeah, and I guess the big question now is, let's say they do hang in the division until mid-June, early July, mid-July, and then the question becomes, do they go all in? Do they push those chips in, and what pieces are they willing to part with in order to do that? You know some of the big pieces in the minor league system. I mean, which guys are you not willing to part with?
So that's a great question. Certainly for me, Jobe is the guy that obviously everybody's going to ask for, but I don't see any scenario in which they move him. I think that he is someone that can obviously make an impact on this team soon. So I don't think that you make that move at all. Young, I think you would expect, and it's unique obviously with Keith struggling, is there a way to get Young up to the big leagues at this point or soon? I almost thought that when with Kennedy getting option today that maybe we would have seen Keith go down just to get his swing organized, but obviously they chose to option Kennedy when Ibanez was activated. I think that there's probably a couple guys that are somewhat untouchable. I'm always a believer that there should be no untouchables in terms of just the broad industry. You should always listen on everybody. But the theory that I've got with the Tigers right now is that they are very unlikely to give up high value guys for rentals. I know that's not necessarily a dramatic statement, but there are those teams out there Baltimore, for example, they're so good and their farm system is so stacked that if they wanted to give up one of their better young players to get the right rental arm from a team that's out of it, okay, that makes sense just given where they're at. The Tigers are not quite a dominant World Series contender right now, in my view, to where they would validate giving up someone of high value to bring in a rental guy. Now, they've done a very good job, and you know this. They're A level. They're so Class A level, obviously in West Michigan and in Double A. Got some really good arms there, so they have enough redundancy there with good young starting pitching to where they can, I believe, trade from that depth. But that's where the big question comes. You got to trade the right guy at the right time. When someone's value is up, maybe you're not so sure that he's going to be someone that's in your rotation. Okay, trade him now. And I think that's where when you're in that situation and you've got a rotation of 4 to 5 guys putting up big time numbers like what you've got at Class A right now for Detroit, I think that's maybe where you pull from and make a trade from that level as opposed to someone like a Job or a Young who certainly can help you. You would expect, if not this year, then certainly next.
John Morosi with us. What's the best thing you can tell Tigers fans to manage expectations for the Parker Meadowses and Cole Keiths of the world?
Well, it's hard to hit right now, Dan, and that's something that I hear. You know, I get a chance. I'm really fortunate in my career where I'm going around and working different major league broadcasts. And when you're in the manager's office and you're having the production meeting about everybody's team and how you're doing, most of the managers that I talk to, they've got a couple of guys who are really struggling, and they're often young guys. And we just saw Jackson Holliday, one of the very top hitting prospects that we've seen in this game in a long time, up for a couple weeks, sent right back down. And he was regarded as can't-miss of a can't-miss guys who's ever going to be. And so I just think things happen so fast now. It is hard to hit. We need to see, I think, better ability to adjust from, broadly speaking, from young hitters, and that's not about Jackson, it's about things in general, whether it's Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, the struggles that Keith has had, the struggles that Meadows has had. This is normal. It's normal now with everybody throwing 90-mile-an-hour breaking balls that it's darn difficult to be a major league hitter right now. And so I think that my advice would be, if you want to get upset about how the Tigers lineup looks day to day, just take your MLB app and flip around to different teams and realize that there's a few guys basically everywhere who have OPSs in the 400s and 500s, because that's just where we're at right now as an industry. So it's I think you really believe in the people and the players as you do with Keith and Meadows, and hope that at some point they figure it out. But it's tough when now there's expectations now on this team that weren't there a year ago, and you're falling short of what you believe that you can do. This game, as you know, Dan, it can grind on you day to day, and I think that's what certainly Parker and Cole Keith are going through.
I didn't expect Jackson Holliday to go 2-for-34, and I also didn't expect the Houston Astros to be 9-19, 28 games in. How did that happen?
That's a great question. I think they've had some pitching issues that have crept up and become very problematic all at once. Their bullpen, they brought in Josh Hader thinking that was going to strengthen things, and it hasn't worked out. Verlander just got back. Abreu, this news broke in the last hour, has gone down to the minor leagues because he's just so lost at the plate. That's a former MVP who's just kind of lost it, for lack of a better description. So there's a lot going on right there, and it's an older team in terms of, you know, guys like Bregman and Altuve. I mean, Altuve is still going to hit. Alvarez has gone off to a slow start. They've missed some guys that used to, I think, keep the group united, if you will. Guys like Brantley is no longer there. Maldonado behind the plate is no longer there. So I think they had to kind of re-find what their true north is as a clubhouse, and I think it's just taken them some time. But there's a lot of talent on that roster, and I certainly don't rule out the possibility of them bouncing back. But I got to tell you, Dan, I like Seattle's roster better. I like the Rangers' roster better, and you look at that division, and we've even seen the Angels play pretty decent baseball. Oakland's been better than anybody expected. I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs here, but the wins in that division are tougher to come by for the Astros than they've been in a very, very long time. So I think a lot of different elements explain why, Dan, but their slump is real, and I don't think it's going to be a snap your fingers, bounce right back kind of a time. They've got a long climb ahead of them.
And lucky for them, it's a long season. John will be part of MLB Network's showcase broadcast of the Yankees and Orioles tomorrow. Plus, you can catch him every morning on MLB Central at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. John Morosi of MLB Network. Doesn't feel like that long ago that we were outside the locker room at Dow Diamond. Shout out to our friends at 100.9 The Mitt in Midland. Keep up the good work, JP, and thanks again for making the time.
You bet, Danny. All the best wishes there, and certainly I still follow the Whitecaps carefully. I covered that team, as you know, 21 years ago. My goodness, what a great time that was in Grand Rapids. So all the best to you and your family, Dan. We'll catch up soon.